Hello, my name is Bill Cummings, and you're listening to Show Me Magic, a Goddess in the TV recommend show.
Hello, welcome to the second episode of Show Me Magic, which is a new music recommend show hosted by GoddessInTheTVZine.co.uk. I'm here with James Orton. Hello.
Hello.
And Andy Von Pip, our guest today.
Hello, mate.
How's the lockdown treating you both?
It's not too bad. I mean, it's not much different for a freelancer sitting on your own answering emails and not having much contact with the outside world, apart from, you know, missing going to gigs, but it is.
That is the worst thing about this, no gigs.
Yeah, I know.
Especially for you, Andy, because you do a lot of photography as well, don't you?
Well, yeah, you know, the bottom of everything's fell out for me, really, so I'm income-wise and everything, so I'm a kept man at the moment, which
I'm basically redundant as the live editor for Guys in the TV as well at the moment. So
I'm sure we'll survive somehow. I mean, my work's dried up as well, but you know,
there's a lot of people a lot worse off than us. So count your blessings. Yeah.
Just prior to coming on to Mike, me and Andy were talking about the clap for the NHS last night, which was heartwarming to hear.
It was.
Very moving. But some people have criticised it, saying, well, you know, they should get a better wage, they should get this, but it's not either or. You can do both. Fight for a better wage for the NHS and also applaud them in these really unprecedented times, you know.
Just hopefully when it's not a crisis, you know, well-funded and well-paid, because they're the people who put themselves on the line, aren't they, basically? Yeah. So, in the lockdown, have you been listening to much new music, you two?
Listening to bits and bobs, obviously there's the stuff that we're going to be recommending today, but some of the new albums that have been out in the past couple of weeks, sorry, out today, so that's been pretty much being spun repetitively.
And how's it going? What about you, Andy? You've been busy with the kids, haven't you, really?
I have, but they keep themselves to themselves, and I've been listening to more albums, really, than I normally do. I can kind of get lost in albums more so than playlists and really concentrate on them, you know.
Yeah, got more time.
Yeah, that's it, I think, yeah. But, there's some cracking albums coming out, so I hope they don't kind of get lost, you know.
Yeah,
this is it, isn't it? A lot of things are getting pushed back, aren't they?
Yeah. I know the Porridge album's just been pushed back, hasn't it? Till
is it?
Till June, I think, yeah.
I thought it was out already.
The Porridge Radio, yeah, I think that's out.
The pottery album.
Pottery.
I get my porridge and my pottery mixed up with
Well, you can have porridge in your pottery, can't you, really? So
as long as you haven't got pottery in your porridge, you're all right, aren't you?
If you haven't heard this show before, which, you know, you might not have done, then basically we'll go around the table and each recommend a new or recent track. And then at the end, we're going to have a little chat about classic tracks as well. And we're going to round off with one as well. So, Andy, since you're the guest, just tell us a little bit about what you do. You used to have a blog, didn't you? You're also a music photographer and journalist. So how long have you been in the business, Andy?
In and out of it for years, to be honest. Yeah. You know, and I started blogging as a means of kind of getting back into journalism and writing. So my blog, The Von Pip Musical Express, was running for 13 years, really, which is quite a long time for a one-man blog, really. I decided to call it a day at the end of the year, actually, because I don't know. I think the Tastemaker blogs kind of had their ascendancy, and then kind of, you know, with Spotify and with the way people consume music now, it's a bit different. So I'm writing for other zines and blogs like yourself at Goddess in a TV and Under the Radar, the American one. To be honest, it's given me a bit of a challenge to kind of, you get in your comfort zone a little bit writing, and to be given stuff to write about, I find that a little bit more challenging, and I was in a bit of a rut before, and I'm enjoying it again, so, you know, that's the main thing as well, I think.
Yeah, sometimes with a blog, it's like you can just choose what you're really passionate about, but sometimes if you get, just check something random, then it stretches you a bit more, doesn't it?
Yeah, you really listen as well, I think, yeah.
Yeah. James, you write a lot of album reviews as well, don't you?
I do, especially at the moment. There's nothing else to do. But I think that's one of the best things I've been about doing this at the moment is that they are chucking the albums at you quite rapidly. So you are getting. I've had the Once One, the Porridge Radio. So Sorry, I've had for a little while. The Dana Gavansky as well, which that's is out good, today. Yeah. That was a good one as well. But been good.
I'm actually surprised how many emails I'm getting, because last week I just sort of thought, I sort of thought, is it a bit trite writing about new music at this time, you know what I mean? It's like bigger things going on in the world. But then I actually thought, well, actually, it's sort of an escapism, really, isn't it, you know, so.
If they're going to start like you said, with pottery being pushed back and sports team pushed theirs back as well, didn't they? There was another one that if they're going to start doing that, then for the maybe sort of in the next couple of weeks, we're going to find that we're not going to get any albums to review.
Yeah. What's your first track, Andy?
My first track is by a band called Public Practice, who are from Brooklyn. They're a post-punk band, and they're formed out of the ashes of two bands, one called Beverly, which was Drew Citron's kind of project, and Wall. It's a cracking track. I'm really, really impressed with what I've heard by them so far.
And it's called Compromise, isn't it?
In particular, it kind of appealed to me anyway, in terms of the Sonics, because it kind of reminded me a bit of them kind of politically aware post-punk bands like like the Au Pairs from years ago, who were brilliant.
Okay.
You know, and it's got that sort of vibe.
It's weird, because when I first listened to it, I was getting like the Slits and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, they were around, weren't they, just before the Au Pairs. And,
I didn't realise they were from Brooklyn or New York or that area until I looked them up, because I thought they were actually English, and I was like, oh, okay. So obviously, and then I got the television thing. I got a bit of a television with the guitars.
I got a little bit of the Pretenders as well.
Yeah, because there's quite a good vocal interplay as well, isn't there? Quite clever. So anything else we want to say about this track, Public Practice? A bit of Sonic Youth I even put down there.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit more like, you know, more poppy new wave than Sonic Youth, but the vocal interplay and the guitars and stuff, I definitely got a bit of Sonic Youth. I picked out a lyric, "You don't want to pick a side." So I wonder what that was about. Was that kind of a political statement, or what do you reckon?
Compromised, isn't it? Again, it's the thing about compromise. And, you know, I political ideologies, kind of certainly in the climate we're facing now. Sometimes, you know, you can get compromised and sidetracked when really at this moment, I'm thinking the best thing to do is for all the parties to work together, you know.
Yeah, there is that. I feel a bit almost like resigned that the system is kind of broken itself. So
yeah,
maybe trying to step back a little bit from the, what do they call it? Internecine warfare of Labour and the left.
Yeah.
It's kind of killing itself. So I'm trying to step back a little bit, but then I do see things and I think, yeah, but you are hypocrites actually. But at the moment, yeah, it is working for the greater good really, isn't it?
You know? I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
what do you reckon, James?
Well, they certainly agree with
isn't
each
your
other
wife a politician as well?
Huh?
Isn't your wife a politician?
No, she's a solicitor.
She's
a solicitor, but she's going to be becoming, hopefully she's going to be becoming a councillor, but yeah. Cancelled, haven't they? So all the local elections have been cancelled. So.
Yeah, but being a councillor is pretty political, mate.
it's more on a local level. It doesn't...
Yeah. Yeah,
you'd like to think
it's more about putting what time your bins are collected and whether the streets are swept, isn't it? Really,
she does a monthly clinic, and they basically it's people whinging about their bins or where people are parked in front of their houses.
Okay, so what are we giving it? What are you giving it, Andy? I mean, it's pretty obvious you like it. So,
out of 10, I'll give it an 8 out of 10.
Go on. Yeah, let's do it for fun.
Yeah, an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's very strong.
I'd probably go with an 8 as well. What do you reckon, James?
Yes, I've written 7.5 down.
Splitting hairs there, mate. But
yeah. I know, I always do. You know that. I sat on my fingers last time.
All right. So do you want to pick yours next, James?
Yeah, shall we start with, for me, Egyptian blue nylon wire? The murder capital last year.
Cool.
And they're really sort of angular and it's really sharp, and it's their EP from last year was really impressive, and the name of it has now escaped me, but they're just about to release their new EP sort of later on this year at some point. I think they pushed that back as well, obviously, because of the situation, but this is excellent. I really enjoy this one.
Yeah, you liked it as well, didn't you, Andy?
Yeah, they're one of them bands. I've seen them kind of mentioned quite a lot, but I've never really got around to listening to them. So when I had to listen to this, I thought, you know, loved it. real drive and energy. And then I read they were fans of the Mary Chain, so that's always good with me. And that track in particular, it sounds a bit like the OCs, but with tunes. You know what I mean? The OCs are great, but they can sometimes get a bit self-indulgent, can't they? And this is like a more focused version of the OCs, I think.
Okay.
But it's a blinder, cracking track.
Yeah, the OCs, yeah, I know what you mean. Egyptian Blue, they don't really sound like their name at all, do they?
No.
I was expecting to be more like Slinky Pop and stuff, like, you know, I don't know why.
Either that or some African beats and stuff like that or something.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. World music. But I got sort of visceral anger. I actually put like a moodier, more intense Young Knives as well at one point. I don't know why. I also got like a bit of Idols maybe, a bit of Pill. What were you picking up, James?
I thought... was thinking of a fair amount of like sort of television post-punk as well. I think
Gang of Four.
It's slightly cliched that people sort of ending up sounding like them when you're talking about sort of the post-punk side of things, but I think there's definitely that something. But then you've got kind of a bit more of an experimental side of it. There seems to be like they've added some samples things now.
Yeah,
in the back. They didn't do that live previously. They were very kind of straight up post-punk band live, very kind of intense, but which they're still keeping. But live, there's something else. They're kind of they're quite confrontational, a bit like the Murder Capital live as well. But and then that's sort of coming through a lot more in the newer tracks that they've released. There's a bit more of sort of the live feel that they're getting. That it's not. It was a little bit sort of pared back before, but this is a lot more in your face.
Yeah, the outro is pretty like crushing as well, isn't it?
It's
like a bit of paranoia in it. I thought. Anything else you want to add, Andy?
No, I just remember reading about them when I was listening to the track, and they were talking about that they actually took inspiration from like the chaotic gigs of yore, you know, like the stuff the Mary Chain used to get up to.
Yeah.
And that's where they kind of got their energy from.
Cool. I just watched the film CBGB's a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, that's awful. That's awful. I couldn't get through it.
It's not a great film, admittedly, no.
I started pushing the piano up the stairs, like literally. I just turned it off. I thought it was going to be good because the CBGB story is really good, isn't it?
It's Alan Rickman, isn't it?
Yeah, it was like 45 minutes, nothing's happened. I was like, no, what's going on?
The only good thing about it was the way they kind of had the way they sort of decided to sort of like show the bands that were up, you know, that they were there and who they decided to bring in and play them. So the television was like, when they first, you know, showed this band up, then it was television, I was like, really? I didn't sort of get that at all. But it was kind of, I don't know, I haven't really read any reviews of what people said about it, but, you know, you kind of get, I kind of got almost like that feel from the Egyptian Blue, what's playing like in the late 70s and CBGBs would be like, or in a club of that ilk anyway.
Yeah.
So that's not a recommendation on that movie then.
That's awful.
That is a stinker, yeah.
I was looking for some good recommendations for, you know, like music-based films, because, I mean, to tell you what I did watch, I watched the Miss Americana Taylor Swift thing, and I am now a Swiftie. Thought she was great. She was fantastic. I just totally love her now. She seems such a nice girl, like, and Kanye West is such a dickhead.
It's funny how those documentaries can kind of like change your opinion of somebody.
Yeah, yeah.
I quite like the Liam Gallagher one because I was like, you know, he comes across quite genuinely in that, even though he can be, you know, a bit of a tit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he comes across as sort of like, you know, a family man, basically.
He comes across as very genuine in that film, and it sort of played right into his hands with him and really sort of made Noel like more of a dickhead.
Yeah. Well. Yes, you've got to be careful with those films because some of them are like long adverts, aren't they? I suppose.
I thought Supersonic was a great documentary on Oasis.
Yeah, that was great.
Was a romp, wasn't it?
I've never been a massive fan, but I thought that was a brilliant documentary. And
really well done.
And it was quite a good depiction of like how the 90s changed and into the 2000s kind of thing, you know, like how music changed, really, I guess.
Yeah.
How guitar music changed and stuff. Because they were going about like Nebworth, you know, they knew it was all sort of like all over by then, really, kind of thing. And what are we giving Egyptian Blue?
I'm having a 9 on that.
Wow, okay.
I'm going to go for another 8.
Yeah, I'm sort of like borderline, but yeah, I'll go with an 8 as well. Go on. Okay, so that's winning so far. All right, bit of Katie Malko here. We'll be right back. Katie Malko's new single, Animal, out on 6131 Records.
That's a weird name of a label. I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, it's from a debut album, Failures, which is a good name as well, isn't
it? Debut album? Why do I feel like I know this?
Yeah, she's been around for quite a while, actually, because I did a search on our website, and we'd written about her in 2011, so been around quite a while.
2011, and this is her debut?
Yeah, she's had a few singles out and EPs and stuff. Much more like introspective and sort of singer-songwriter-y before this. I just love the way it just sort of comes in, and then it's like really driving guitars, and I put kick-ass guitars. And her vocals are really sort of like powerful, and I love the line, carry me home, I can't breathe, because apparently it's about binge drinking and stuff. And I just like that, and I put it, it's sort of like the chorus carries you home on a shoulder of crescendos. But yeah, what did you think of that one?
Yeah, I really like it. I've written down that it almost sounds like a bit more of an upbeat and cheerful Phoebe Bridges. Yeah. I don't know where I'm getting that from. I don't.
No, it's a good description.
I really like it. It's kind of got that kind of sort of sweet, similar kind of vocal to Phoebe, but more upbeat. And obviously, yeah, it's like a driving.
Sharon Van Etten, I was getting maybe a new album.
Yeah.
What do you think, Andy?
I think you recommended it a few weeks ago on one of your tracks of the week, and I think I said to you I'm quite keen on that one. It was right up my lockdown street, really. kind of intelligence soaring indie pop, you know. Very impressive. If everything's like that on the album, I'll definitely be checking it out more.
I think she's talented. She's had quite a few singles out in the past. And I've really liked her voice. I went for a run before and listened to all these tracks, and I was listening to it, I was thinking, even a bit of Bruce Springsteen, I was thinking, because that driving anthemic thing, you know? Mm. Yeah, just the touch, you know? A touch of Bruce in there.
Above all, it's quite upbeat and uplifting, which is sort of one thing we need, really. I pick things that are really sort of a bit miserable. Well, not miserable, but...
Yeah, I was looking for something a bit more like, you know, poppy. But yeah, it's about alcoholism as well, so it's like, you know.
Oh, happy days.
Using that as a using that as a kind of, you know, using a song as a means of, you know, expression and therapy, you know, as cheesy as it is to say that.
Where does the title come in then? Animal? What's the relevance of that?
Yeah, I think she says because I think it's more about like people looking at her when she's drunk and stuff like that. Oh, I'm not an animal or something like that. I think that's the lyric.
Yeah. Sounds a bit.
I don't know if that's what she becomes when she's pissed or something.
Maybe. Katie Malko, the Malk, is from Northampton. Northampton, and her album is hopefully on June the 5th. It's called Failures. What do you reckon on that one, then, chaps? On a score, I'm giving it an 8. So there you go.
I'll go for 7.
Okay.
7.5.
Fair enough. I can see what's happening here, but carry on. I think we're going back to Andy, aren't we?
The next track is from Sorry's debut album 925, which is a brilliant album. Really impressed with it. And this one is called As the Sun Sets.
Thank you.
Moments on the album, I think.
Really?
Yeah, it's got it.
Yeah, a bit.
Riffing on Louis Armstrong's "What a Wonderful World," you know.
Got that.
I mean, a lot of the songs they do this kind of like really cool kind of deadpan and dual vocal style, and it works brilliantly. But I think on this track, there's real emotion, especially in Ash's voice.
It's quite fragile, isn't it? It's cracked. True. I couldn't decide whether it was cracked emotional or cracked tired. She's knackered.
Yeah. I put laconic.
But yes.
I also got like a sort of an insidious vibe to the percussion and the guitars and stuff.
Mm, that's very much the almost like the theme of the album is fairly like that. In different ways, but
I preferred it to the I preferred it to the track Snakes you brought last time.
I know, we discussed this because I brought Snakes last week last time around, and as a single choice, I wasn't sold by Snakes.
No.
But if you listen to it in the context of the album, it worked perfectly.
Yeah.
Whereas this is much more of a single. And it's one of those ones that could probably break through a little bit more as well, sort of more of the mainstream side of things. Because it's it's not quite so disparate as other their other tracks and things like that. They have quite a lot of elements and, you know...
I do like her voice.
It can be quite mustard, I have to admit. I know people who don't find that she's putting any effort in, but I think that's the point. Mm. That is her delivery. It's her, as I said, iconic, almost lethargic sometimes as well, and that's the point of it. It's not the way anyone else would sing. It's quite different, and that's one of the best things about almost every single track on this album. And it's almost as if I chose this track myself.
I put it's like a summer lockdown soundtrack. It's kind of
it's like you can't go out to see the sunset. You're locked in your house.
You're just falling asleep as the sun comes down, you know.
Well, that's the lyric, isn't it? That kind of appeals to me.
Right,
given you know, the current situation, as the sun sets, I really want to run into it. And we can't. We can just look at it out of our windows at the moment.
Yeah. You know? I just put on Twitter the other day, it's like we've had months of bad weather and then we get the first bit of good weather and then it's like a lockdown and a global pandemic, you know. It's like being mocked, isn't it, really?
Oh, I know.
Someone is taking the piss.
They are a bit. Slightly. Yeah, it flips What a Wonderful World as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's
a lyric. Quite clever. Quite a lot of clever piece of songwriting, I thought.
Very, yeah.
Are they quite young? You know way more about them than me, YouTube. So.
Yeah, I interviewed them on the phone a couple of weeks ago.
Wicked.
They're quite shy, you know, they were quite shy, and I kind of had to probe a bit. But it was a bit weird because it was on a conference call and the line was really quite bad, so I couldn't quite make out what they were saying sometimes. And obviously,
I've been there.
And because I was doing it for an American magazine, Louis was quite confused He says, "You're not American." I said, "No,
I sound like Ringo Starr. I'm from Liverpool. It's fine."
What was that thing you used to say? You sound like Ringo Starr with something about bees or something. I can't remember what it was.
Ringo Starr trapped in a bloody beehive.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. That's great.
I met Asher a couple of times. I met her when they supported HMLTD a couple of years ago, really, now. And she told me that, I said, "Oh, when is the album going to come out?" Because I don't even know that they'd released Starstruck by then. I don't know, they hadn't. And she said, "Oh, probably in August." And that was 2018. So it's taken a little while longer for that to happen. But yeah.
Yeah, because you tipped them last, was it a couple of years ago you tipped them, didn't you, James?
Yeah, so yeah, I went to see them in the summer 2018, and that's when I started tipping them. Yeah, they'd only just released Showgirl then, and that's not on the album because a lot of their early singles aren't, except for the refix, as they called it, version of Lies. But yeah, I'm a massive, massive fan, as my album review attests.
And 925, do you know what that means? You know where they got that from?
No.
It actually relates to sterling silver, because sterling silver is 92.5%.
Oh, clever.
So, oh, okay.
So it's in the interview, but it's in a different publication, so I won't plug it here.
You read Andy's interview in Under the Radar magazine, isn't it?
That's the one, yeah.
You can say it, Bill. It's
I wrote down a few bands it reminded me of, but or artists it reminded me of, but I didn't really think that it was like obviously in debt to anything. I even thought a little bit of A Touch of Clinic, you know, and Wolf Alice. I thought a little touch of.
I was saying sometimes when Asher sort of gets out of the kind of very laconic side of it, yeah, I can see that she sounds like a Rose Hill.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, sorry, that's what I mentioned in the interview with them. I said, you know, you've kind of got your own kind of unique style, and it's difficult because they take from so many different genres.
That's good, though, isn't it? That's the good thing. And we said this about Porridge Radio last time we chatted.
Yeah.
They're defining their own sound, then that's positive, really. You can't just, like, put it down to one thing, then, you know, lazy pigeonhole that we tend to do as writers. That's a good thing. So what are we giving that one, then, chaps? Sorry, what do you think, Andy?
8.5. It should be 9.25, shouldn't it, really?
Yes. Can we do quarter marks?
Oh, it gets too complicated then. You could get your calculator out, James.
Okay.
What are you giving it, James?
I'm giving it a big fat 9.
Okay. I'm going for an 8. It's good. It's very good. So back to you, James, I think.
Yeah, well, I've only got one other new song anyway, and that is the new single just released by Squid this week, signed to Warp Records just this week, Sludge. We'll be right back.
teeth out on the floor. I don't want any more. Scrape my teeth out on the floor. I don't want any more. Scrape my teeth out on the floor. I don't want any more. Scrape my teeth out on the floor. I don't want any more.
It's their jazz kind of experimental, but you have the kind of post-punk guitar side of it too, but you have brass. Again, it's another band that sort of defies pigeonholing and defies, everyone sort of uses this thing about being jazz because they're a bit experimental and they have a bit of brass and certain amount of sort of piano and organ, things like that, but I'm not sure you can really call Ollie screaming anything to do with jazz whatsoever. So, and that just works for me on so many levels.
They're on Warp as well, aren't they?
Yeah, they just announced it this week. They signed to Warp.
Cool.
Which means maybe an album's due very soon. Which would be exciting.
What do you think, Andy? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I've seen Squid twice, and the first time I saw them, I thought they were absolutely brilliant. The second time, they were fantastic, but it was for Get It Loud in Libraries. They do a brilliant job, that organisation.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
But this was actually in Birkenhead Library on a Sunday afternoon, which was really weird.
I can imagine.
It probably didn't work as well. But
my grandparents are probably there.
Well, they would have been confused. But They gave a great performance, but it was more the venue was kind of a bit odd. But it was still great to see, you know, families and kids there with this really weird avant-garde kind of off-kilter art pop.
Yeah.
And I think this track, again, it's another great track by them. Occasionally, some of the tracks can meander off a bit too much for me. This, as a single, I think it works perfectly. And it demonstrates all sides of them, really, you know, what's great about them.
It's a good succinct single because, like I say, they did that, the version, The Cleaner, which was on the EP, that's about 9 minutes long.
Yeah.
And this is quite succinct at about 3.5-4 minutes, something like that, which I was expecting something to be about 6 minutes at least, but it's really succinct. But they managed to cram everything that's great about them in those 3.5 minutes, 4 minutes.
I'm more impressed by them than I was Black Midi, to be honest. I know it's like that's a strange comparison, but I suppose, you know, they're both kind of like experimental new bands,
yeah,
like,
heights,
you know, I find it quite discordant and kind of, like you said, sort of like quite experimental, but with a post-punk kind of foundation, like, you know.
Yeah.
I like the line there, I'm lying on my bed with a celebrity chef.
So. Chefs, yeah.
I put Jamie Oliver, question mark.
I was more thinking Nigella Lawson myself.
Actually, I got a bit of pill from that as well, to be honest, as well. I know I'm using the pill there. It's just his vocals were quite Johnny-like.
Yes, yeah.
I thought
that there is that definitely. I think
the only thing I would say about it is I don't actually remember it. Apart from the vocals, I don't remember it. I mean, it's interesting, but well, it's all in the scores. What are you giving it, Andy?
What shall I go for? I think I'll go for 7.5.
I'm giving it a 7 as well, to be honest, because I just think. It's interesting, but it didn't stick with me. Apart from the vocals, it didn't stick with me. Yeah, I'd like to hear more, because they are interesting. It reminded me a little bit of that other band, what is it, what are they called? Working Men's Club?
Oh.
A little bit. A little bit. Although Working Men's Club, they kind of veered around as well, sound-wise, but...
I find Working Men's Club a little bit, you know...
Go on.
Not trying to be polite. No, I'm not trying to think of something polite. They're just a little bit formulaic for me. Right. I think there's a lot of talk about him because he's 17, but yeah. I saw him live, and the most interesting thing about Working Men's Club was their keyboardist. She's the most miserable performer I've ever seen. He was fascinating. I couldn't take my... Because she just didn't want to be there. Or at least she looked like she didn't want to be there.
Well, I like the last track they did, that AAA or AAAA.
Yeah,
that was a really good track.
Teeth is the one I like, to be honest. But
yeah,
back to Squid. The name for a start, like, makes me think. I feel like it needs something else. Squid and what? You know, Squid.
Do you think it's because they like got multiple tentacles in different parts of sound?
Yeah,
perfect.
I'd almost prefer Squid and Chips, though. You know, but then makes me angry. Anyway,
We've got
Choir Boy, and this is their recent single, Complainer. It's from the forthcoming album, Gathering Swans, which is out on the 8th of May. I think it's still out on the 8th of May, anyway. What's that? Gathering Swans. What's it, mate?
We'll be right back.
anyway, I put that it was a self-effacing track where you, if you catch yourself being a bit of a moaner, and you have to check your privilege. Apparently, that's what it's about. But the sound of it's sort of like Future Islands, a bit of Talk Talks, Fist of Pop, you know, a bit of Blue Nile in there, a bit of, yeah, that kind of era of sound, sort of new wave electro pop, really. And I like this one, but the track that really excited me about these guys was A Night Like This. And it's more sedate, but very in that 80s kind of sophisticated pop, electro pop vein, you know, and I quite like that. I thought I'd just chuck this in because we're quite guitar heavy, aren't we, this time? So I thought I'd just chuck this in.
This was wasn't this one of our tips for the year as well?
Yeah, one of my tips.
Yeah.
Because I quite like the album as well. They've had an album out before, but they're getting more of a push this time, I think.
Where are they from?
It's North America somewhere.
Oh, they are. American, gosh, I thought they were English.
Yeah, you would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
He's got almost like a Anthony and the Johnson / Jimmy Somerville.
yeah.
Do you know what I got from it? I thought, you know, very 80s, and I was thinking, it seems like that if it hadn't been for Corona, 2020 might have been seeing the return of singers who were like in the thrall of Billy McKenzie with them vocal theatrics, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Walt Disco are the same, aren't they, in terms of the vocals? All those sorts of inflections. It's catchy, but I don't know, I kind of lost me.
It's superfluous.
Yeah, it's like a bit yoghurty, a bit like yoghurt.
I think it makes more sense if you watch the video. It's kind of taking the piss out of 80s kind of 80s videos and 80s.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
So they're aware of what they're doing. Yeah. They are aware of what they're
knowing.
Doing. I've got Ohio and Utah that they're from.
All right. So,
it's obviously a sort of tribute to those kind of
times. It could be lifted directly from about 1984, couldn't it?
Yeah.
And yeah, I do like it. The only thing I'm not a big fan of is the synthetic drums. It's
okay.
Very, very kind of like, it's as if it's from 84 where they've just, you know, invented the concept almost, the actual pad on the drum kit. I put down that some of the guitars are almost kind of like Johnny Marr jangly.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I actually even wrote down that he sounded a bit like Morrissey, but I thought we'd cut that bit out.
No, you can say what you like.
There's enough there to make me want to have a listen to them, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's not my favourite of their tracks, but I just thought I'd chuck it in because it's something different, you know, to the other stuff we've got. And I quite like the sort of new wave kind of electro-pop element to it. And it's not as obvious lyrically as it appears at first, you know. Mm. I'm just a complainer or whatever he says. He's actually sort of like taking the piss out of himself, really.
Mm.
And I think the video actually has got a bit of a Frankie Goes to Hollywood vibe to it, actually.
Oh, okay. I'll check that out.
But it's not entirely serious, but it's a bit of a tribute to the 80s, sort of a bricolage of all those things. The album's quite good as well. I've been listening to it. I think that one, Nights Like This, is the one that's almost Blue Nile kind of, you know, territory, which it's got that kind of yearning thing to it. But there do seem to be some bands. I mean, the title itself, Gathering Swans, is a bit ridiculous in itself. But I think they're one of the bands they've had to cancel a whole tour that they had lined up for this country as well. So it's a bit of a shame, really. I think I'm going to interview them, so see what he's like.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's called Klopp as well, the singer.
Jürgen?
No, not that Klopp. Adam Klopp, is it? Yeah, Adam Klopp. What have you given this? I'm giving it an 8 because it's obviously I chose it. I don't think you guys are going to agree.
You can't give anything less than 8 if you've chosen it.
Yeah, go on then. Do your worst.
No, I did enjoy it. I say the only thing that sort of did put me off was the drums, but
process drums.
The rest of it, I'll go. I'm going to be generous and say 7.
Fair enough.
I'm going to have to go for 6, I think.
Fair enough. I was into my kind of 80s, because I'm a big talk sort of phase at the moment, so that's kind of where it's coming from, I suppose. Is it one from you, Andy? Because you're the guest of honour, so you get...
I get an extra, do I, yeah?
Tracks, yeah.
The next track is by a New York trio called Thick, and the track is called Won't Back Down.
Shed a tear.
And my thoughts are, I don't know, I just wanted to get pick a tune that kind of had a hopeful vibe. And this one, for me, it sounds like a real track of solidarity. Yeah. A tune you could imagine fans bonding over and sort of waving the lighters around a bit, really. It's full of determination and anger and energy and hope and a real Riot Girl anthem.
Yeah, we need that at the moment, don't we?
Yeah,
to get through the next 12 weeks or whatever it's going to be in stuck inside.
I'm like, called Thick. So many connotations.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it?
Well, they did that. They released that song, didn't they? The video for Mansplain.
Yeah, I like that one. Yeah. Really, I think I made that video of the week. Yeah, that's really good.
Yeah,
and that's quite a short track, isn't it? But the actual, the videos and the you know, the sexist mansplaining in it.
Were like real comments, weren't they, that they'd received over the years? So
it's really good. Actually.
Really good.
Real good takedown of sexism in the music industry. If you get a chance to watch that video,
yeah,
it's Thick Mansplain. Yeah, and this one, I put a really chunky Riot Girl punk sort of sound. I was getting a bit sort of like Sleater-Kinney, L7, that kind of thing.
Yeah. It's got sort of like a slacker rock sort of thing. It's very kind of
but
slow,
the chorus is,
and a slacker guitar sound from the 90s, I always liked.
Definitely, yeah. But the chorus is kind of defiant, like you said. It's kind of, you know, it's got that kind of defiant air to it, I thought. Yeah, I liked it.
It's got a good kind of like military band drumming going on as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, sorry, I was just listening to it again. It's just kind of got that sort of slacker 90s rock thing, like I just said. It's kind of one of those
bands you see on The Word or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. They've just come over because they're doing a tour with someone like Blur playing Marlene Stadium or something like that. They're on The Word with Mark Lamar and he doesn't like them or something. For all you kids. TV show late at night on Channel 4. Is it Channel 4? Yeah.
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 It's great.
And you reviewed the album, didn't you, Andy? And Under the Radar. I'm sure I read that.
Yeah. Again, it was one of my favourite albums of the year. I think it's just got everything I like about that sort of music. You know.
Yeah.
And it's a debut album.
First track I thought was brilliant. I can't even remember the name of it now, but I had a listen. The first track was.
Is that the title track? Is it? I think.
Yeah.
There's loads on there, and it's the guitar playing's fantastic, and it's angry and it's hopeful, and I think that's how I feel at the moment.
Yeah, not climbing the walls yet, then.
No, not yet.
At least we can go out, you know. At least we can go out.
Go out for a jog.
Yeah. Once a day, stay in though the rest of the time. Well, save the NHS. I was quite surprised that 2 weeks ago I went out and it was on the Saturday and it was like big groups of people, and I was like, "What? I'm trying to avoid everyone."
Yeah.
Weird.
There's footage of like, the police booming out a load of people from Green Park, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. This isn't a party. This isn't a holiday. Yeah.
You all please leave.
Yeah.
This isn't a party. This isn't a holiday. That sounds like the start of a track, you know?
I know. Doesn't it? A voiceover.
Yeah. What does he say on the jam song? What does he say?
Oh, The Clash or something.
The Clash. This is the real world or whatever he says. Like.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? So, Thick. What are we giving that out of 10?
I'll go with 8.
Yeah, I'll give it an 8 as well.
I'll give it a 9.
I'll put mine up to an 8.5 because I did really like it, actually. Did really like it. I do like this band, but I'm cheating with the 8.5 thing. So. So we're going for the classics now, aren't we? Do you want to start first, Jim?
Sure.
Because you've got a surprising one, I think.
I've gone for a bit. Yeah, I listened to it the other day because sitting on your Todd. And you've listened to a certain amount of new stuff, and then you start going back, and the much maligned, and rightly so, maligned Kings of Leon for all their present misdemeanours. But that first album is still a brilliant slice of American rock and roll. But I'm not going to not choose anything like Molly's Chambers or any other single, big singles from that. I've chosen Tranny.
Hookers are hanging out at the bar near the Greyhound station, and the bare-chested boys are going down on everything that the mama believed. Bag of smokes and little bump of cocaine. hope you feel not so strange. Said old Paul, she don't get off unless somebody's standing near. And she'll shine once she's crossed the line. She's all tied to a jail, isolating on the ground, throwing white noise sound like a chain on tin. Bubba's got their heads in a knot. They don't know what they love or deserve to give. Chances are a dead worm in his lap. Doesn't even know which fish that he'd like to bite tonight. Oh, tonight, tonight, tonight. Or maybe tonight. To the ball. Get home unless somebody's standing near. And she'll shine once she's crossed the line. And all tied to a chair, isolating on the ground, blowing my noise down like a chain on tin. Cops on the call, it's not the free. Somebody is standing near, and she'll shine when she cross the line, and so I'll try to do a chair, isolating on the ground, blowing my noise sound like a chain on tin. Isolating on the ground, blowing my noise sound like a chain on. Isolating on the ground, a blowing white noise sound like a Chinese on tin.
Probably my favourite Kings of Leon song, although, you know, that might not be that hard for some people. But what does everyone else think?
What do you reckon, Andy?
To be honest, I'm totally with you there, James, on the album Youth and Young Manhood. I thought it was a bit of a classic when it came out. And then it was just such a surprise they went for, like, MOR Glory after that. I'd probably be with you on this track, but I think Molly Chambers is just fantastic, and that's my go-to track by them from that era. You know, that this track, yeah, it's okay, but it's
quite bluesy, isn't it? Listen
yeah,
to it.
It
was reminding me of somebody. I don't know if it was the Stones or one of those like Americana bands.
Bit of Dylan going on as well, isn't he? With the
yeah,
vocals,
yes. Yeah, you're right.
Definitely,
it does sound like an album track rather than, you know, a big single.
It's not a single, definitely not.
Yeah, because we went for the like underappreciated classics we were going for, Andy. I forgot to tell you.
you didn't say that.
It's all right. It's like whatever you define as a classic, really, isn't it?
Well, exactly.
It's interesting track. It's very of that time. I mean, I remember I saw them in CIA in Cardiff, which is like the arena. I actually was interviewing the support band.
Oh, really?
Called The Features. Have you ever heard of this band?
That would be the same tour that I saw them at Apollo as well.
We did actually see them, but I was never really a big fan, to be honest. I recognise that era was they were better than they went on to be. So
yeah,
that like hoary stadium rock thing. But then as I was talking to you, James, last night, it's like there's a point, isn't there, where all bands, they have to make a decision. And maybe going back to one of the tracks we talked about before, it's like what point do you have to compromise to, you know, if you want to become that stadium rock thing, you have to change, don't you, if you really want to.
It's unfortunate.
But then it compromises the art, doesn't it?
You have to be shite.
Yeah. You write Sex on Fire, it gets number one or whatever it did.
What was that other one they did, that big hit? Was it Lose Somebody or something like
Use
that?
Use Somebody.
I mean, that was all on every late night radio show, wasn't it?
Testosterone, kind of like, you know.
This one's for all the young lovers, one of them.
I suppose there is something to be said about, like, if you play in an arena then, or like a stadium, you do have to make music that as big as the stadium, but then it doesn't have to be crap, does it? So.
No. I'm thinking of a list now, stadium bands who aren't crap. You know,
yeah,
that would be a good top 10.
Yeah, it's not many. It's not many you do it well. It's quite an art to it, actually.
Yeah,
most of them are pretty bad. But then they have to. I suppose they have to. They have to You know, they have to change, don't they, to become something else? Anyway, there's not many bands who've done it on their own terms and become a stadium band on their own. Prairie Radiohead are one of the few I can think of. Done that.
Have they ever done stadiums?
Oh yeah, of course.
Have they?
Yeah.
Must have missed that.
Massive arenas, haven't they? Glastonbury, I mean, that's...
I suppose, yeah. I mean, they do the parks, don't they?
Yeah, they don't generally do stadium, but I mean, they became a bit, you know, they became...
Yeah.
But on their own terms kind of thing. But then they were quite lucky, maybe, because they had a label, really. It's an interesting conversation for another day, maybe. But so what are we giving this one? It's Kings of Leon and Tranny. Giving it... 6, I'm afraid, because I just didn't rate that one as an album track, to be honest, mate. Sorry.
Fair enough.
Yeah, 6 again for me, I'm afraid.
But... It's a big fat 9 for me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Big fan.
Well, you did choose it, and you do think it's a classic, so. It's interesting, though, because that is the sound of that. That was the sound of that time, wasn't it? You know, that kind of thing, so.
Yeah.
It was a kind of an Americana revival around then, wasn't it?
Coming out of the States, you know, in the early noughties, you had...
Arcade Fire and all that as well.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a story to this one. Railway Children and Brighter. Probably Andy's got more of a first-hand knowledge of this one than me.
Thank you. shadows in the corridors. Should your reflection fail, this vision's for sale, pretend it ain't been. My heart runs, they could be anything. Different names, changes everything. But what matters, and really doesn't matter, we're caught in this hit and run. It all becomes so vague. But what matters, and really doesn't matter, we're caught in this hit and run. It just becomes so vague.
This track, it just, there's a kind of, I don't know how you define that kind of melancholic, you know, wistfulness, but it's still a pop song thing that in the 80s that came out. I suppose it's got a bit of the Smiths in it, a bit of Orange Juice, bit of Tears for Fears. I also put that they were from Wigan, and this was long before Mad Richard sailed in on his magic carpet of psychedelia. With the Merv. I thought that was quite a good little intro, yeah. But they're quite an underrated band, aren't they, Andy? I mean, they had the album Reunion Wilderness, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I used to be really into
excellent.
Them. Yeah.
So I have to give Zoe credit for putting me onto these like 2 or 3 years ago. She's like, have you never heard of the Rainbow Children? I was like, I've heard the name. I assume it's based off the film or
you
the
just
TV.
Thought it was Jenny Agutter, didn't you?
Yeah. For some reason, I got like a C86 thing from the name. So I'd never really heard them. And then when I put it on, I was like, Brighter, she sent me. I was just like, wow, that's a tune, you know? And it's even got like a little bit of a Smiths nod with the, what's the lyric about? Caught in the hit and run. And I just thought, yeah, that's a bit of a Smiths nod, isn't it, almost? What did you think, Andy? Because you used to follow them around, didn't you, at the start, at the time?
Yeah, when I was a little nipper, I used to go and see
them. You were like a groupie.
Yeah, I used to drag my mates along who weren't as keen as me, but we'd all really? Get ridiculously drunk and we'd end up stage diving on, which was, and the band were looking at us quite confused with these Scouse lunatics who keep turning up at our gigs. But I did see them in Birmingham many years ago in a venue called Burberry's. And they were supported by a band called Seymour, who obviously went on to Blair. Mm. And it was my girlfriend at the time, actually. She said to me, she goes, you might like this support band. Because I was at the bar and I went in. And Damon was there playing to about three people. I remember talking to him afterwards and he seemed like a nice lad. And Alex was there and he was just a cheese twat. Basically.
No. Why not?
from, I think it was the debut single, and I think it's the one and only album for Factory Records, yeah.
In fact, I looked at the video and it was apparently directed by Tony Wilson, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah.
It was
something put together by him anyway, at least. Something.
I think if you like that and you know that album, then check out Recurrence, because that's a fantastic album. Probably the best, I think. I was convinced they were going to be huge at the time, and he did have one like minor hit, Every Beat of the Heart.
Yeah, that was on the Native Place, wasn't it? Which is kind of more widescreen poppy kind of sound.
Yeah, they were kind of developing into a bit more of a poppy type of act. And Gary Newby was quite a good looking lead singer, so he had a lot of indie girls kind of turn up his gigs. But they're still going now. They've reformed.
I've heard that. I'd like to see them. They're one of those bands that's like, you know, underappreciated 80s band. I've started this playlist of like underappreciated bands from the time I've been writing, which is 17 years now.
And
I was like, oh, okay. And I was actually surprised it was 17 years, actually. They're one of the bands, I think, most underrated. Maybe like them and the Go-Betweens, maybe, as well.
Yeah, I used to be right
in front of the Go-Betweens,
well.
Andy.
Yeah, I used to love them myself as well, yeah.
What do you reckon, James, as somebody who'd never heard them before?
It's a band that I'd somehow, I'd never come across it before. Band was passing by. But, no, I agree almost completely exactly what I had written down as well. There was Tears of Fears, all that. And even here, there was a certain amount of Smiths to it, or introduced. But yeah, you sounds like you two know them a lot better than I do. But yeah, no, I enjoyed that. That was so it was a new one for me.
Yeah.
But I just watched 24-Hour Party People as well. And when you mentioned Tony Wilson and Factor, did I actually hear them on that? And is that, am I just...
Possibly,
It was quite an early Factory single, wasn't it?
Yeah. Was the album on Factory? I don't think it was it?
I've got it, so I'll have to check.
Yeah,
I think it was. I think it was.
Was it? Yeah. And then they signed to like a major, didn't they? Later on, like a lot of those bands did.
With Virgin or subsidiary of Virgin. Yeah,
a bit like Aztec Camera, who signed to a major. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also I think if you're sort of like swearing off your Morrissey and the Smiths for obvious reasons, then it's quite a good substitute, really, isn't it? You know, finding a band to a. So I'm sort of like replaced the Smiths and Morrissey at the moment with the Railway Children and Go-Betweens.
Yeah. I tell you another one, Bill. Have you heard of a band called Northern Portrait?
Yes, I've heard them. Yeah,
they are so Smiths-like.
They're Scandinavian,
Swedish. They're Swedish, aren't they, I think? Yeah, or Norwegian. Yeah. They're very, very Smiths-like. But
yeah, I like them, actually. I like them.
Really good.
Yeah.
And without the twatishness.
Yeah, exactly. But you were saying, James, that you like the new Morrissey album. So
I didn't think you were going to bring that up, Bill.
Might as well. Now we're on the podcast. And we're all.
It is a good record. If you can, you know, step aside from his, you know, undesirable friends and affiliations and views and stuff like that. Just listen to the album. It is good. It is an impressive album.
Do you know what?
Just for the art.
I've got no interest in listening to him at the moment. Yeah. That's the problem.
No, that's fair enough.
I listening to Tommy Robinson's kazoo or something. You know?
I went to see Alexi Sayle doing a gig in Liverpool.
I love Alexi Sayle.
And he said, Tommy Robinson, he goes, he's come a long way. He goes, in the 80s, he was glad to be gay, and now look at him, he's a fascist. Sorry
about
that.
Now he's on Six Music, actually. Yeah.
Apologies to Tom.
It's great, Tom. He's a legend, isn't he?
Yeah, good man. Does a lot of work, doesn't he, for up-and-coming bands.
It's a good chat, though. So I give him that a 9, obviously, because I chose it. So there you go.
I'll give it an 8. Definitely an 8.
Okay, fair enough.
Oh, go 7.5.
Oh!
Gosh.
It's like the second time I heard it today. Yeah, I've listened to it after you sent it to me, Bill, yesterday, and then I listened to it again today. I did like it. I think that's fair.
It's a way of sort of like getting into bands you've never heard of, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah. It'll be a 9 next week when I listen to their albums.
So what did you choose, Andy?
Well, given that I was unaware that it was unappreciated tracks.
Originally, I said to James that, we'll do underappreciated, and then I may have just said to you it was a classic.
Yeah, just pick a classic.
It's probably my fault, but it doesn't matter. It's all cool. It's like however you define a classic, you know. It could be underappreciated. It could be something that's like...
Exactly. Everybody classic is a very subjective thing.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, it's just like Heaven by The Cure.
Who?
Unbeatable.
Unbeatable.
I don't think anyone would disagree unless they were near clinical cretin to not not like this track. It's I think it's The Cure's most uplifting, inspiring, perfect, beautiful pop song, really. And it should win because it's Mrs. Pip's favourite, and she's a nurse, and it's one of our songs.
Oh, for the NHS.
Dedicated to the NHS and all the work is slogging the guts out for us.
During the coronavirus isolation lockdown pandemic.
An anthem for better times.
It is uplifting, isn't it? Curiously uplifting for The Cure, really. Really uplifting, actually. Yeah. What do you reckon, James?
Yeah, definitely.
Have you heard the Dinosaur Jr.'s cover version?
Yeah, that's good.
It's not bad, is it? It's not bad.
Yeah, it's good.
Apart from when he starts to roar, I thought, what's all that about?
Must have been a little roar.
Yeah. I still prefer The Cure's, obviously.
Yeah.
The Cure is what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Might have to wait a while.
Yeah, more than 12 weeks probably, but hey.
We'll be on episode 10 by the time we get out.
Not as long as when Brian Adams was number one, though. We can get through that.
Actually, this is probably up there in my... It's probably in my top three Cure songs. I don't. It might be my favourite. I can't divide some of their tracks, you know, because they're just so good, aren't they? And they're quite different, some of them as well. So
I was going to go for if it had been like a sort of more under the radar type tracks, I could have gone for Grind and Halt. But then that's a bit depressing, isn't it, for what's going on at the moment? So
yeah,
I think it's something uplifting. Yeah.
They were brilliant at Glastonbury, actually. I was really surprised.
Yeah.
Just how great Robert Smith's voice still is. How old is he now? He must be nearly 60.
60, yeah.
Yeah.
Must be, yeah.
I watched an interview with Robert Smith just before they did Glastonbury, and that was something like, oh, are you looking forward to it? And he said how when they'd done previous sets in like the 90s, and he just didn't really let himself enjoy it, but he said he's going to let himself enjoy it this time. And I thought for a minute, is that really what everyone wants from a Cure set, enjoying himself? But he looked like he was. And I was really impressed as well. It was really good.
I went through a massive like Cure phase in the early 2000s, which is way after their peak, obviously. But
yeah, I did as well.
Weird, isn't it?
They're one of the like first bands I saw live, actually, The Cure. At the Royal Court in Liverpool many years ago.
Yeah. So what we're giving this one, I'll go in 10?
10?
Yeah.
And 10.
So we're rounding off with The Cure and Just Like Heaven. So Andy, you were saying about a lot of bands doing live streams at the moment because we're all in lockdown. You wanted to recommend one. We'd all go around the table and recommend one. What's yours, Andy?
Yeah, it's difficult to keep in track of it all because there are so many. And you do feel like saying to some of the artists, I really appreciate, you know, the intent, but maybe spread it out a bit because this isn't like a sprint. It's going to be a bit of a marathon.
True.
But the one I watched this week I really enjoyed was Juanita Steen of Howlin' Bells. She did one, and she's doing one, I think, every Wednesday at 9 o'clock, if she can. It's just an acoustic guitar, but I think she's a really underrated solo artist, and I think Howlin' Bells were always a band who just should have been bigger than they were.
Yeah, I saw them Barfly in Cardiff, like probably like over 15 years ago. You got any, James?
I've, like you say, there's a lot that have been going around. There seem to be a lot of bands almost doing guitar, like lessons, guitar technical things. But somebody's just suddenly come back because she just signed a record deal with a label whose name escapes me like most things these days. But Anna B. Savage, I don't know if anyone's heard of her. She did an EP a few years ago. One side was live and the other side, she only like names them after, so it's I, and IV, all the names of the songs. She hasn't given names, but she's just released a song called Chelsea Hotel Number 3, which apparently is all about wanking, but kind of a bit Marika Hackman like. But she's been doing a lot.
Is that a cover or is it like a
No, that's her. It's her own song.
Okay.
So it's number 3 as opposed to number 2. Is that Nico or am I making that up?
No, it's Lanny Cohen, is it? Chelsea Hotel.
Yes. So I think she's got it number 3. I don't know what any kind of connotations attached to it, but anyway. But she's been doing like a load of covers though, sort of, but kind of in her own style. So she did things like Sparks by Coldplay, which is obviously the first album, which is again a bit of a much maligned, you know, rightly maligned latterly, but at the beginning. And Sparks, she has a really good version of Sparks. She did Nick Drake. I can't remember which song she did, but she also then did True Love Waits by Radiohead. She's got a really distinctive voice. Anna B. Savage, so check her out. She's really good.
I've got two, actually. There's a streaming festival that we're involved with called Balcony, which is in aid of musicians against homelessness. Obviously, I'm not sure when this will go out, but I just like mention it anyway. And there's loads of bands playing. We've got a band called Tugboat Captain playing for us, and there's all sorts of playing. And Joy Zine have set it up. Loud Women are involved. Louder Than War are also involved. And it's like a live simulcast where a load of sessions will be like put together live, and you can stream them all from 1 o'clock. All the information's on Facebook if you want to. Yep. And also, I've got one, a Cardiff band I'd recommend called Rose Hip Tea House. And they're doing a live stream on Instagram from Club E4Back, which is the Welsh club in Cardiff. Thanks for listening to Show Me Magic, the second podcast recommend show. Thanks to Andy, our special guest, for joining us today.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure.
It is, Andy. And James, till the next time, I hope you both keep safe.
Indeed.
And check out the website, girlsinthetvzine.co.uk, for more information. Or we're also on Twitter, on Facebook and all that. Until the next time, ta-da.
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 See ya.
You've been listening to Show Me Magic, a Goddess in the TV recommend show. Check out more on goddessinthetvzine.co.uk or on our Twitter page, Goddess in the TV. We're also on Facebook, Goddess in the TV Zine with a dot. Thanks for listening. Until the next time, ta-da.